Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful morning, no matter where you are in the world today, it is your choice to believe that this is a beautiful morning. It is your choice to go out in the sunlight, or in this case, because you may be in another part of the world from Arizona, which is the headquarters of White Apple Institute. If you're outside of Arizona and in another country, you may see darkness. You may be in darkness, or the beginning of a sunrise, or the moon and the sun going down. Whatever it is that's going on right now, you can choose to make it the best time of your life. Now, that's pretty hard to say. And Professor Applewhite, here I am. I'm a witness to the fact that there are so many things going on in the world today. One of the things that I really want to reinforce today that's even more important than school violence. School violence is important. Shoot students to shooters. That's our show today. But we cannot, absolutely cannot overlook the pain and suffering that is going on in Japan right now. Not only did they suffer the most horrendous tsunami, where the ocean actually lifts up and drags people away, destroys the homes that they built, the lives that they cherished, but they also had to suffer from the nuclear reactor in the northern region of their beautiful country. This is very, very sad. And so we need to be open to embracing them, and also open to the fact that no matter what you may think about this country, politically or otherwise, there are very, very good people there, and people who are suffering and need your prayers, your thoughts. So thank you so much for joining us this morning as we give out that that shout out to not only Japan, but to Haiti, who's still suffering from one of the greatest things that have ever happened to a country so poor already, without adequate resources, that they are still suffering. We also want to give out our love and appreciation for all of the countries right now that are suffering from horrendous things of changing governments, of political issues such as Libya. We want to really shout out to them. Believe that this too shall pass. Believe that this will be okay in the future, and that even if it's difficult for you to wake up this morning and say good morning to the sunlight or good night to the sunset, we are with you at White Apple Institute, that we are with you in the United States, praying for you, sending help and support to the people of Japan and Haiti and many, many other places, Latin American countries, Mexico that just suffered a horrendous flood, and anything else that our guests can come up with that they wish to express a prayer or a thought of goodness going out, please feel free to do this. Our lines are lighting up now, and we want to thank our callers for calling in. We want to make sure that for those of you who are a little uncomfortable about going on air and would like to just write us by computer on your chat session, I wanted to let you know that the chat session is open now. And so you can go ahead and write us what you're thinking, and we'll be glad to try to answer that during the show and accept you. So the chat line is open, and we're also going to say good morning to our folks, like one of our faithful listeners, two of the faithful listeners that come on air for us on Saturday mornings. Good morning to 824 number.
Yeah, how you doing? This is Tom, Vice President, White Apple Institute. How you doing?
Good morning. Yes, Tom is Vice President of all of the student affairs, and he is there for the students. He is there as a support system and will help students with resources. So if you call in, you're more than likely going to be referred to Tom for resources to help you. Area of sports and in understanding the very basic things in mathematics so you can get through and pass that horrible little section of your life so that you can go on to higher things. I know some of you are like, oh, I can't stand this math, but truly will validate that mathematics is the easiest to learn if you just relax with it. Right, Tom?
Right. Well, it's very easy to learn. There's mathematical tricks. I can show people how to go through a deck of cards and come up with the last card. Put one card on the table, come up with the last card. You do it mathematically. Math can be fun. It can be difficult also, and a lot of times it's just the fear. When I went to high school algebra, I was so afraid of it, I couldn't do it. And also, I was so good at math, I could get the answers, and the teachers wouldn't accept the methods I used to get the answers, even though they'd work every time. And they'd say, you have to do it my way, and I'd say, and they say, well, that's not so simple. I don't understand your way. I understand this way of getting it. You know, I think the problem through. And
well, as long as you didn't get naked in the classroom, Tom, I think that's okay. All right?
Yeah, no, I never did that.
Right.
Waited till after.
We all have our different ways of studying and our different positions that we get in. I know for one, for myself, I like it loud. I play loud music, and that helps me for some reason to focus on my work. Let's see what our other caller has to say about how she gets through, because I know she's gone through tremendous years of studying and teaching. Good morning, number 363. This is Professor Applewhite.
Yes, good morning, Professor. This is Consuelo Astete.
Good morning. Good morning. One of our board members calling in. She's actually not on the board itself. She's a supports the board, and extremely supportive, always trying her best to look for ways to help us, to motivate students. And so you can always count on her being there, especially for those of you that speak Spanish and feel more comfortable in that language. You would probably be referred to Professor Consuelo Astete. Good morning, and how are you, dear?
Good morning. It's a beautiful day. in spite of everything. And our prayers are with those areas of the world that need us. Talking about different ways of studying, my way is completely opposite. I have to have complete silence or I cannot focus.
Now, I hope our audience heard that. So you require a very quiet environment.
Yes, and also I get tired on the vertical position. So my favorite position is either horizontally lying down or even spreading myself down on a table.
Mm.
My body is on the table and my books are on the table. And, of course, my feet are on the floor, but that's that way I don't get my back doesn't get tired. So it's
well, I'm glad your feet are on the floor.
Yes.
You see? There's all kinds of ways that we use to see. And I hope that our listeners are really getting this, that there's no real right way. It's your way of studying. And just because one teacher or the other says, well, I don't like the way you study, most teachers know that everybody has their own individual way of studying. And they will accept that as long as it's not something that you have to do in the classroom. When you're in the classroom, you must do it the way the instructor advises. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But when you get home, you get to do most of the work that you like to do, and you don't have to worry about all of that. So we thank you so much for sharing what you're sharing this morning. So
well,
listen, I know we have other guests that have promised to stop in during the show today, and we're looking forward to having them here. But before we go any further, let's discuss what we are going to talk about this morning so that we can stay focused on the subject. This is going to be four episodes dealing with school violence. This is a very, very heavy thing that's going on right now. And as a matter of fact, it's Professor Applewhite's thesis. And I have many, many theories to share with you about school violence and how students, beautiful, wonderful, peaceful-minded students, when they're younger and as they grow, something happens and they turn from students to shooters. You know, when we're little, I've seen little boys play with guns, okay? And they play with guns and they shoot them up, bang, bang, and then somebody falls, and they get all this from the movies. And the movies paint a kind of unrealistic view that when you get shot, that you get right back up again and you're all right. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. They recycled the same guy to shoot
You know, death doesn't have the same meaning. That's a good one, Tom. They recycle the same guy. You know, but we know as we grow older, at least we hope, people hold on to the idea that that's not realistic. People don't recycle. And when you shoot them and they lay down and they're bleeding and dying, they are going to die. And so that's something I think that school violence needs to focus in on when we're doing the films, is the horror of it. We're not putting enough horror in it. We're not. And I really mean this, and I know there's people that are going to say to me, oh, come on, Professor, we don't want to scare our children. But, you know, I'm not trying to scare them, and you're not trying to scare them by saying to them, when you shoot the gun at somebody, they are going to die, and you will never see them again, and their families will never see them again. When you stab them with a knife, you are going to hurt them and put them in the hospital. And this is important. This is important for you to know as a student that school violence, especially even bullying is usually the start of school violence. We found that throughout. Everybody that's been arrested and put in prison for school violence, we look back on their history and we see that there's been a history of behavior problems. And number one, they could either be the one who was bullied in school and somebody jumped on them or beat them up or took their lunch money or just came up in their face, as the kids say, you're in my face, and pushing me and annoying me so that I think that you want to fight with me. And so therefore I get really tense and excited about whether or not I can defend myself. And now, on top of that, you bring some other guys in. Now you got some other guys coming in. You're not just going to try to beat me up yourself. You're going to bring two or three other guys that are much bigger than I am. And why do you need to do that? If it was just you and me, maybe I could win this fight. But if I'm 8 or 9 years old and you're bringing in, you know, 10, 11-year-old big guys to beat me up and take my lunch money, I don't have much of a choice. I've got to fight my way out, and I'm going to be scared to death. And this is what we're not talking about. In the films that we're making, we're not talking about it. And so by the time a person gets to the 19, 20-year-old range, they've just had it. Now they're out of high school, their parents and other people have told them, as soon as you get out of high school, things are going to change. It's not going to be the same. Then they go to college now, and they still find someone bullying them, someone putting them down, making them feel bad. This is a horrible thing. Any comments on that?
Well, that happens to colleges and universities. And high schools all over this place is people get bullied and do bullying, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of times the bullies are the ones that take the self-defense classes and stuff like that so they can beat up people more and not the people getting bullied. I know that's one defense against getting bullied, though, is taking some karate classes and stuff and, you know, just surprising people when two or three of them come at you and you beat them up or whatever. That's
karate.
One defense. Karate is a great defense. I recommend it for women. I tried to get my late wife to study karate, but she wouldn't. And they have karate for people in wheelchairs and things like that. But a lot of it is you just need to learn to communicate. And oftentimes there's reasons that somebody wants to bully you. Maybe you're smarter than they are in the class and they're jealous, you know. You do better at school. And if you could, instead of getting in a fight, say, hey, why don't I show you how to do these math problems so you do better in Mrs. So-and-so's class. You know,
and sometimes that does help. I've seen that help, yes. You know, and love always works, and that's a way of expressing love. I believe that that's the greatest way to get someone to come around. But in today's world, unfortunately, we don't hear much about love. And it's interesting you talked about karate because my grandsons are visiting today, and one of them here today is the number one wrestling champion in his school. And I think he has some things to say about the factor of wrestling and bullying and how he feels about bullying. So I'm going to let you hear Javian Hunter. Javian, come over, and you can speak right here into the microphone here, and tell us a little bit about your age.
Well, I'm 12. I'm 13 in, 5 months.
5 months, okay.
be turning a teenager, and
you look like a teenager now.
And I'm going to be wrestling.
Talk right into the microphone here.
I'll be wrestling till college, and then I'm going to stop and play football.
Oh, okay, so you're going to wrestle and then play football. Tell us a little bit about what you feel about bullying, about violence in the school. Are you kind of afraid of violence in your school?
Yes.
Why? You don't have any violence in your school, do you?
Yes.
You do? Like what kind of violence?
Like cussing at teachers.
Really? Other students? Not you. You don't cuss at teachers. But you mean the other students cuss at the teachers? Really? And they get in trouble? They don't get in trouble. Why don't they get in trouble?
Hit the teacher and run.
They hit the teacher?
And then run.
And then they run? Well, my goodness. That sounds bad for the teacher, doesn't it?
Right.
I mean, our listeners are out there. You know, there's a lot of people listening to you right now, and don't get scared of that because they really need to hear your voice and what you have to say. Because I didn't even know about that. I wasn't even thinking about that. I know a couple of teachers have told me that in preschool some of the kids do that. But you're talking about in junior high and high school. My goodness. No wonder a lot of people don't want to go into teaching right now because it's very violent. So you don't do this, and so that's one form. Is what you're saying, it makes you feel bad because you see them doing that to the teacher, so and nothing happens, so it's pretty easy for them to do something to you then.
Yes.
Oh. What makes you afraid? Someone is, let's see, disruption and the technical difficulties there. Can you hear me okay out there, and listeners, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What I was thinking of is that, like, when a police officer gets shot, okay, I think that many of us feel very uncomfortable because if somebody can shoot a police officer, then we figure they can shoot anybody because the police officer is like, wow, you know, that's really a big deal, right? And so I guess if somebody's beating up or hurting a teacher, that to a student, that becomes a really hard thing to take, too. Wow. So do you have bullies in your school?
Yes.
What kind of bullying? What do they do?
Call names. Cuss at each other. Cuss at other people. They hit other people. They jump other people.
Can you hear us, listeners?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay.
They steal from lunch.
They steal lunch or steal lunch money?
They steal stuff from lunch.
Oh, like from the lunch line and the cafeteria line?
Yeah.
Wow. And so ladies behind the line, they usually don't say anything?
No.
They don't want to get in trouble or? Oh,
they don't
want to
get jumped either, I guess.
My goodness. And you go to a pretty nice school in a great neighborhood.
But they actually have been suspended.
They've been suspended, okay.
For 3 weeks.
3 weeks suspension if they steal from the line and bully people. But is that enough? Do they come back and do it again, even more?
No.
Oh, okay, usually that works then.
Because usually wherever the bad kids are, we have a police officer at our school. He comes in our classroom and watches them.
Oh, a police officer comes and watches those that have been troublemakers. And so you guys feel better with that? Okay. Well, gosh, you guys have heard a little bit from JV and Hunter in Chandler, Arizona. And what school do you go to again?
Prince A. Middle School.
What is it?
Apprende Middle School.
Apprende Middle School. And so maybe you can tell your teachers you're on the radio talking about school violence and invite them to come online and talk about it too. We'd love to hear from the teachers there. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. And I think your brother wants to say something too. Now, here's a young man. His name is Javante Hunter. And Javante has many, many skills. Javante is, I think he's more like a builder. He's a builder. He likes to put things together. And he also loves basketball. Okay? Is that right, Javante?
Yeah.
Right. And you're pretty good at basketball, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember a lot of times I've watched you on the court. And you're how old? Tell everybody how old you are.
11.
You're 11 years old. And what school do you go to?
Apprende Middle School.
You go to Apprende Middle School. And would you tell us a little bit about what you feel about bullying? Is there bullying in your school or in your classroom?
No, not that much.
Not that much. Okay, talking to the microphone right here. Not that much?
No.
Okay, have you ever been a bully yourself?
No.
No? What does bullying mean to you?
Just hurting people, cussing and at teachers and all that.
Cussing at teachers? Yeah. Okay, and so you're saying you don't see much of that. Do
no.
you see a little bit of it?
No.
You don't see a little bit at all. Why do you think that you don't see a lot of it and your brother and other students I've talked to, they see a lot of it? Why don't you see it?
I don't know.
Is it your eyes aren't open to it, or it just doesn't happen for your grade, or what?
It just doesn't happen for my grade.
And you have nice kids in your classroom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what grade is that again? Sixth grade. Okay, now that's highly unusual in today's world that at sixth grade and at your school, you don't see much violence and bullying. So we appreciate that you don't have to do that. If you do have to do that, like next year, you'll be going into what grade?
Seventh.
And do you think you're going to see some of that then?
Maybe.
Maybe. What are you going to do if somebody starts bullying you?
How to handle it, and then tell your mom, go talk to the school about it.
You're going to try to handle it. Now, what do you mean try to handle it? A big guy comes up to you and they want your lunch money?
Just walk away.
Just walk away. And what about if they push you or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Don't try to fight them back.
Don't try to fight them back? Okay, especially if they have other people with them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think that's a very, very good idea. Any comments from our listeners out there?
Well, I was just going to comment that I don't know if teachers have done this or not, but, like, I remember a case in the fourth grade where I had a friend named Mark Fuller, and
mm-hmm.
he was kind of a wimp.
Fourth grader.
Okay, and I was the toughest kid in class. And the third toughest kid in class was going to beat up my friend, you know, Mark. And I just told the third toughest guy, I said, look, you beat him up, I beat you up. I mean, it's just that simple. And it would be kind of cool if schools could get in an alliance with the tough kids that aren't bad kids, that don't bully, and kind of, you know, have them help with the bullying problem in school just by being there, by being present, by stepping into situations where they see a small kid getting picked on or whatever, you know. I know it helped having me as the toughest kid in fourth grade. It helped my teachers out immensely. And I don't know if schools are trying to do that or not, or take advantage of that. But, you know, sometimes the toughest kid in class isn't the one that's doing the bullying, and you can utilize utilize that.
Yeah, that sometimes it's not. It's the one with the biggest mouth sometimes, right? Is that right,
David? The bullying.
Uh-huh. Sometimes they can just have the biggest mouth and scare somebody with their mouth or go up in their face. Now, I know outside of school, you've told me that you've seen bullying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of school, like with friends in the neighborhood or neighbors or something like that, right? Tell me about, just tell us like one experience of somebody trying to beat you up at outside of school.
What do you mean?
Has somebody tried to beat you up and push you around outside of school? But you had somebody that was messing with you, pushing you around and taking things from you and that kind of thing.
No.
No? You haven't had that experience? Okay. All right. Well, you're pretty lucky. Yeah, especially with your brother having those experiences. Do you help your brother out when he has those experiences?
I don't see him in the day.
Uh-huh. And if you did see him at night, would you help him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's real good. Thank you so much for being on the Student to Teacher show. We really appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, we got to hear from the mouths of two students, and it was really interesting that one had a different opinion than the other about what's going on in school, and I wonder if there's some kind of issue going on with the grade changes, okay? So I'm glad that you guys, any of you listeners out there have joined this app. Let me check the chat line, make sure that there's no comments there, and so that we don't want to miss anybody's comments on chat. Okay. Oh, we do have one comment here. It just says, great job. And we thank you very much for saying that. And maybe that's what we need to do is have more students talk about what it really means and how they can really stop it, as opposed to just an expert. And we, you know, not putting down experts or anything, Professor Estete. Now, we respect that they've been, you know, studying this phenomenon of bullying for a long time, and we respect those ideas. But there's nothing like what Tom was talking about in his fourth grade experience. There's nothing like getting in touch with what actually happened to you and sharing that with other people. Because that, I mean, I don't know, that seems to mean more to people when they hear it from the people who are experiencing it. Don't you agree?
Yes, of course.
Any other comment? I thought you were going to say something, Tom.
Oh, well, I wasn't. Yeah, well, I just think, you know, if you don't give in to bullying and if you're smart enough to learn who the bullies are and who they're not, and just, you know, if you're a tough kid at school, hey, don't let it get to your head, and you can step in those situations and help out, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it really, a lot of bullies are afraid. They pick on kids that are a foot and a half smaller than them and that are like 11 when they're 8, and you walk up to them and you're 12 and they're 11 and you look at them, you know, a couple inches taller than them, and tell them, well, you know, you don't want to hurt my friend, really, do you? You know, because I'm going to help him if you try. Just really helps out. I think the schools need to get allies of the good students who are also kind of tough and help, you know, have them help stop bullying themselves. And that's another reason I mentioned karate. You know, some classes, they teach everybody karate, so everybody's even. And I don't know all the answers. I mean, bullying wasn't that big a deal when I was little. You know, I do remember once being bullied by a next-door neighbor. He was 17 and I was 11, and he was picking on me, and I told him I'd hit him with my bullwhip, which I had, and I'm glad I didn't hit him with that. And my brother was 13, stepped in, and it was us against him, but he backed down, believe it or not. So anyway, that's what I have to say about bullying for now.
Hello.
Hello, I'm still here. Did you get any of that?
Yeah, we heard it. Yeah, I think your idea is very interesting, and it would be very helpful. It could be very helpful, but I wonder if that is being done at schools. You know, your suggestion of having the good kids, you know, the big, physically fit kids, learn karate so that they can sort of counteract the other fellows. I think it's a very good idea. And what about that, Professor Apple, what about that other theory about the fact that bullying did not used to happen many, many years ago because the circumstances were different? Young boys or juveniles, they had the opportunity to be at more that out in the country, you know, climbing trees, doing tough things, maybe measuring up their strength with another fellow, getting into fist fight, but not the kind of bullying that is kind of like mean type of thing goes on in modern world in school, because the kids don't have a chance to really release their energy, I guess, like in horseback riding or hunting or doing more things out in nature. And I've heard that maybe that's the reason why it happens more now in our modern world, because kids don't have a chance to do the manly type of things, you know, that shows off the physical thing. I don't know. I've heard that theory. What do you think about that?
And you know, there's some truth in theory and in empirical evidence, scientific evidence, that talks about, they use the word aggression more than bullying, and which is basically the same process, is that, you know, when you're aggressive, you are a bully, not assertive. Now, I want our listeners to understand, because we do talk about being assertive. And that means telling people, standing up for yourself and saying what is good for you and not giving in to what somebody says is to find your way, to make your pathway, your journey. But aggressiveness hurts other people and hurts yourself, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's where we find bullying taking place, is when we find the issues of aggression. And you know, what is aggression? You know, the word is familiar to most of us. It's probably part of most of our everyday vocabulary. But believe it or not, aggression is surprisingly, you know, really consider this, for example. What do you think is aggressive? Accidentally injuring someone, is that aggression?
Yes.
Okay, but it's accidental. Is that still aggression? Okay?
No.
Biting someone on the neck or the arm, swinging a stick at someone to threaten them, or hurling insults at someone. Those aren't accidents. Those are actual things that someone chooses to do to another person. Okay? And when they do that, then that means they're trying to hurt them. And, you know, there's a great writer, his name is Arthur Koester, I believe it is, and he says the most persistent sound which reverberates through men's history, through the history of man, is the beating of war drums. So it goes back to earliest war drums. People that just want to bite and hurt each other or murder each other for money, okay? Or hiring someone to hurt somebody, okay? Hurting someone while you're in rage and not thinking about what you're doing, not saying, oh, well, maybe I need to rethink this, but just jumping right away into that kind of behavior where you're intending to harm another individual. That's aggression. And that's where bullying comes from. Bullying is an extension of that aggression, Professor Sethi. So you're absolutely right. It starts where there's a root somewhere.
But because we need to direct that energy that is the unsolved child in a different direction.
Uh-huh.
You know, they should participate more in sports or even karate themselves, because most of karate there's a lot of ethics and a lot of self control and everything in karate, and you're not
uh-huh.
really trying to be, you're not trying to hurt the other person unless you're put in a situation where they're going to hurt you, and then you defend yourself. So maybe this is what this guides me. Maybe that would be one way to maybe direct their energy and their attention to in a different way.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why we have so many parts. We have four parts to this particular topic, because, you know, right now we have about 17 minutes remaining, and we're going to encourage our listeners, especially those that are on the computer and listening to the show. We want you to call in, please, to 1-646-727-3758 and take a visit with us and discuss some of these issues, because there's a whole thing about gender and the part that being female or male plays in aggression and bullying, okay? And I say that as one term. Aggression is bullying, okay? But aggression is started. There's an aggressive personality. And I'm going to go as far as say there's an aggressive personality disorder, okay, that starts very, very young in life. And you'll see it if you sit and observe in the playground. You'll actually see some children that will kick and bite and hit other children for absolutely no reason or because they took a toy, but it becomes extremely physically aggressive all of a sudden. You know, and there's actually, I've seen 2- and 3-year-olds draw blood. You know, I mean, hit each other so hard that they're drawing blood from each other, okay? And women, usually women, in most of these, commit acts of physical violence. But there are young women who are just growing into this brutal behavior, okay? Usually initiating one gang member into the gang, you know, a potential gang member, and they let these women actually come out and beat another woman up, hit her, you know, without any thinking, okay? But usually, I'll tell you this, though, bottom line, and this is across the board in research, and if you have anything else, anything that you want to add to this, feel free to jump in. But according to psychologist Sharon Brem and Kasson and Fine, I have to give credit to them because they are the ones who actually say that in virtually every culture, males are more violent than females.
Well, I can believe that. The bigger, the stronger. In general, I'm talking.
Uh-huh.
They're more equipped to be violent. Also, they think it's in their genetics somewhat, you know?
Ah.
I don't know if you've heard that or or not, but they think it's actually in our genetics to be more physical, more violent, more competitive. But when it gets out of hand and kids need to know, you know, it's okay to be tough on the football field, but when you go back to the classroom, you know, the aggression stops and stuff like that. It's important to realize
you're talking, Tom, from a sports perspective, but of course it rolls over into the school perspective too. But
that's what I was saying. Because a lot of stuff from the playground rolled back into school after you were done with sports, you know what I mean? I remember a lot of the aggressive stuff that went on was, well, this guy scored a goalie on me, and I was a goalie, and I'm going to beat him up because he made me look bad, or just whatever. I mean, kids have all kinds of reasoning to be aggressive. And a lot of times, if you turn around and look at their family, they'll find that maybe their father or their uncle or one of their siblings is particularly aggressive, and they are modeling, you know. Modeling means following behavior, for those of you who are in psychology.
And you know, and that's a good point. We model that behavior, and one of the things that we can't deny as we go further into these episodes is that our children are watching violence on television constantly and in our society. I mean, you turn on the news even today, God forbid, that so many innocent people are dying in Libya and in Egypt and many other countries that are experiencing great hardship. And they're dying, and they're good people. And children are asking the questions, why, when my dad or my mom, only thing they wanted was peace and democracy, and they always wanted to show love, why are they dying now? And so what is the model of that behavior? The model of that behavior becomes, not only do the strong survive, whatever that may mean, whatever strong may mean, but the factor that we're saying something to them about how they need to be in order not to die, so to speak.
Right.
I mean, it's that blatant, you know, even in the schools. You know, you've got to be strong, you've got to be tough, okay, so that you can get along well in school.
Right. Well, I know.
Sad. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I know being a tough kid really helped me out a lot. My older brother and I used to get in a lot of fights, and I always lost to him. But then I was tough with other kids because my parents didn't stop it. There was actually bullying in my household. My parents didn't stop it. But fortunately, my personality is so much that I feel bad if I hit another person, so I defended people instead.
Hold on that point, because we have another caller coming in here that might be able to shed some light on that. 418, good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning. Good morning,
good
Professor
morning.
Applewhite. This is Dr. Polnis.
Dr. Polnis, I thought this was your number. So happy to hear from you. We're happy when we stimulate conversation that makes the board members up the phone. I mean, they're always listening to us, listeners out there. But when they pick up the phone and want to participate in the discussion, we're doing something that's wonderful. Now, I know for a fact that you want to talk about modeling peace. I just have a funny feeling. That's what you're all about. But how do we tell our young people as they grow into this violence and this aggressiveness at school where they're actually killing each other? This is not just a cartoon where Tom brought out earlier that they look at a person being recycled over and over again. They keep coming back after they get hit. This is real. And they're taking weapons to school and they're other students, even in the college arena, and that's where we're really focused right now, because whatever they've done in college, they somehow grew into that from early childhood. So going back to the original question, how do you feel that we need to model different behavior in our society so that we don't feed into this aggressive personality disorder?
Well, I would just, that is such a very, very deep question, and there's so many different ways to go with answers to that question, although there is no true answer to the question. However, I have to go back to the beginning, the parent and child, and what the parent is instilling in the child. And clear on the other side of the whole topic of parent and child is who are building these games, who are making these movies, who are the people that is putting this information into our children's heads. It's the parents of, it's somebody's parent. Okay?
Huh.
So we have people who are doing things to other people's children, not realizing they're also doing it to their own because they're building these games. Now, the young people who are coming up and going into the computer areas to where they're going to be building the games, it's their responsibility to start making these games more realistic. In other words, you don't get killed, jump back up and do it again. There's got to be some other way to amuse people, to give them entertainment without it being killing. And we have to start moving away from that in the things that we're designing that's going to be a part of our children growing up.
And part of it's the culture, too, don't you think? I remember when I was growing up, we used to watch the same guy get recycled, if you will, on Gunsmoke every week. The same bad guy in the Westerns. And just the whole Western culture is one of violence, you know?
Well, you know, and I can see that, but in every culture out there, we need to acknowledge that there's not one particular culture that's more violent than another. The violence comes from protectiveness. Violence comes from fear that was instilled somewhere in their history, okay? What's interesting that you said, though, and I have to agree that there's something, and Dr. Polnis was bringing out also, there's something that's modeling this behavior, and we have to look at who's behind modeling the behavior outside of the parents. Those are the games that the games people play, so to speak, and the television. And then the reenactment, that students are doing the reenactments of these violent acts. Okay? One thing was brought out when the Columbine disaster was that there was a part where they were wearing the black long raincoats, and they said that was reflective of what was going on in the Matrix movie, okay? And, you know, that may or may not be true, but it certainly looks like there's an influence going on, and a mistaken influence, because that wasn't really what it was supposed to be about, was killing someone just out of uselessness. It was about protecting the environment, protecting the goodness of man, the humanity of man. And that's the theme of the movie, but I think Dr. Polnis is right. It's not what's being shown. They keep showing over and over and modeling over and over again the aggression and the bullying and the violence and the blood over and over again. And that becomes more the theme of the movies than the love and the peace that needs to be there. Don't you agree, Doc?
I'll agree with that, too.
And Professor Estete, I know that all of this is quite overwhelming when you think about the difference in schools in Peru, because Professor Estete is from Peru, and she's also at the University of Arizona and other universities and consults in translation, Spanish to English. For any of you that want to contact her, please call White Apple Institute. But Professor Estete, there's been a lot of things that have been said over this show, and I'd like you to wrap it up with a comparison of why in Peru you don't seem to have these problems, especially the colleges.
I'm glad you brought that up, because actually the same thing is happening now, because because society has changed, and the main thing, like Dr. Pullin said, which is really the key, is everything starts at home. And we have in the modern society worldwide the breakdown of the family, of the nucleus, where the soul and the personality is shaped. And that is really the key. So the same problem is happening all over. Ameliorating solutions, and that it is evident, because you can really see this, is in private schools, where everything is more controlled. The circumstances, the curriculum, the culture of the schools is completely different, and you do not see bullying in the same way, and I probably venture to say that it doesn't occur very often. You know what I'm saying? Because the children, what they need is loving adults around them. And it all starts with the parents. The parents fail. There could be other adults, and this is where private schools play a role. You know, they're beautiful private schools where this doesn't happen. Unfortunately, not everyone has the money to afford sending their children to private school. That would be, I can wrap it up like that, you know, but it's wonderful that we are analyzing this with your guidance and monitoring. And the theme, I think, is very, very important. And maybe we can find some solutions by continuing to talk about this theme. Very, very important.
Well, I appreciate all of you this morning and want to wish all of our listeners much love and peace this next week as we focus on some of the things that will really help us to understand this aggression personality disorder. And yes, that is my theory that I'm putting out there, and I'm open to intelligent, mature discussions about this, because I do believe that it stems from a mental health issue that we need to address. And blowing off steam by engaging in sports makes people less likely to be aggressive later is a point, but not the only answer. Okay, thank you. All of you. God bless. Thank you so much. As we give Nazim Rashid the stage now with his album Remembrance, and here is